The reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13 on page 1042 of the Church Bibles, page 1042. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Good morning. I'll be reading Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, page 967. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'"
Happy New Year. Has anyone broken a New Year's resolution yet? I realize we're only about 35 hours in. But that could be long enough. I think my personal record was 10 minutes. It's amazing how fast things change. One minute we're absolutely sure that we've given ourselves a specific, measurable, achievable, and realistic goal. And the next minute we've blown it away without thinking. One moment we are celebrating a visionary mountaintop moment, and the next we're deep in a dark valley of real life circumstances. Well, how can we keep going with healthy habits for the new year? The passage I'm going to look at today is the second one from Matthew. We will be praying on Tuesday, so we can think more about the first passage on Tuesday. But do keep open this passage from Matthew in your Bibles or on your phone, as you prefer. And of course, it describes Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. The passage hinges on Jesus' response to being tested in verse 4, which is a quote from Deuteronomy. So let's read this out loud together now from the New Living Version, which is up on the screen. "People do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So what does this mean for us? It means that depending on God, we are to do what he says and do it his way. This is quite different from our usual attempts to think positively and choose something that we can manage and resolve to keep going, at least for a few weeks into the coming year. And thinking about my own successes and failures in maintaining good habits in past years, we could, tongue in cheek, summarize this as three things not advised by this passage. D- Don't expect it to be easy. Don't make New Year resolutions. And don't just do things because you can. Rather, depending on God, we are to do what he says and do it his way. So the context of this passage at the beginning of chapter 4 is a time of transition. Jesus is moving from a time of encouragement to a time of difficulty. He'd just been baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove to Jesus, and the voice of God was heard publicly celebrating and announcing Jesus to be the Son of God, loved by his Father, pleasing to him. But now he's in the wilderness, the desert place, a dry and weary land. Did you notice why he is there? Verse 1 tells us, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit led him. God has no sooner confirmed who Jesus is than he led him to be tested. You might be thinking, hang on a minute. James chapter 1 says, well, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So what's going on here? There are different kinds of tempting or testing described in the Bible. There's a good kind of testing, such as when God tested Abraham's faith in Genesis 22. And the faith of Israel was tested in the desert, which is Deuteronomy chapter 8 that we've just had quoted from. But there's also an evil kind, such as the temptation to eat from the tree of life in Genesis 3 and the trials of Job. And we often wish that God wouldn't allow that kind at all. But we know he allows it for good. Spurgeon commented that Luther's remark stands true, that prayer, meditation, and temptation are the three best instructors of the gospel. God allows us to learn. So don't expect it to be easy, and don't fool yourself with empty positive thinking. We should expect to be tested. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to his place of testing. Was Jesus, who is God, ready to humble himself to become man? Would he take up our pain and bear our suffering? Would he allow himself to be pierced for our transgressions, to be despised and rejected? Well, we know he was ready, and he did. But he was tested here at the beginning of his public life. This was beyond a normal test. Verse 2 tells us that Jesus suffered 40 days of fasting before the conversation even begins. That should have been impossible. Just to survive for 40 days is miraculous. Jesus was sustained by the power of God. Paul assures us that God is faithful. He won't let us be tempted beyond what we can each bear. He provides for us so that we can endure it. Jesus, God become man, was not wandering around the desert aimlessly. He endured like a runner aiming to win the race, enduring physical pain as he set aim on completing his mission to die for us on a cross. He entrusted himself to his Father. He depended on him. And the time period is significant. 40 days. It points to the time of Noah, when the people were unfaithful and failed to depend on God, most of them drowning in a 40-day flood. It points to the time of Moses receiving God's law on the mountaintop, while all the Israelites were unfaithful and failed to depend on God, building instead a golden calf. It points to the time when, of all the men sent by Moses to explore the land of Canaan, only Caleb and Joshua returned faithful, and the others gave in to fear. The contrast is clear. Jesus will succeed where Israel as a nation had failed. Jesus, the Son of God, chose to trust and be dependent on his heavenly Father. Verse 2 contains the understatement of the passage, beautifully read by Tammy, thank you. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Many years ago, I was living in Pakistan, and we were fasting because of a difficult situation in the local church. I discovered that after 3 days of fasting from food, only drinking water, I was very hungry. I woke at 5 a.m. on the first night. And then on the second night, I woke at 2 a.m., but that was because a friend arrived suddenly in the middle of the night. So in the morning, after another stomach-rumbling night, the godly Christian brother who had suggested that we fast in the first place also suggested that it would be lovely to cook a proper breakfast for our guest. Cooking him breakfast was not fun. Oh, the smell of food. It felt really difficult, and I felt weak. I should be able to do this. Why was it so hard? Testing showed my weakness to me, but it also gave me a choice. Would I try desperately hard, grit my teeth, and either give up in failure and then fall into self-criticism and self-blame? Or perhaps resentfully feed my friend, forgetting all about the church situation, and then pretend that I had in some way succeeded? Or would I learn instead that it wasn't about eating or not eating? It was about becoming more dependent on God as my refuge and strength by fasting and praying about a difficult situation involving others. I learned to depend on God more. So we can expect to be tested. Testing gives us a choice, which is more of a reminder. If we think that we're on our own, then fright, flight, and fight are reasonable and realistic responses. But if we remember that we belong to God, that he is with us, we can depend on him even when we are being tested. The test is simple. Jesus has been declared to be the Son of God. Well, says the tempter in verse 3, if you are the Son of God, or we could say, since you claim to be the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. In other words, prove it. You can do this. And we know he can. Later in chapters 14 and 15 of Matthew's Gospel, we read about Jesus feeding first a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children, and then another crowd of 4,000 men plus women and children. He was entirely capable of turning stones into bread, but he didn't. Why not? This wasn't a neutral test, like, can you solve a Rubik's Cube? This was a temptation in two connected ways. First, Jesus was tempted to despair of God's help, provision, and faithfulness, to act as though he'd been abandoned by his Father. After 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, he may have felt that that seemed true, but he knew that it was not. And secondly, he was tempted to link God's love, mercy, and providence to his own physical satisfaction. So this kind of thinking runs like this. Jesus was hungry, therefore God has failed to satisfy his needs. Not true. And we do this as well. For example, I feel hopelessly sad, therefore God does not love me. That's not true. He loves you. My closest relationship has ended, therefore God has rejected me too. That's not true. God has not rejected you. I can't afford to buy food for my family, therefore God doesn't care about us. That's not true. God cares about you. But if you are in those situations, please come and talk to a member of staff at St. Matthew's. Jesus did not despair. He didn't pity his situation, and nor did he make a resolution never to turn stones into bread. Unlike us, being in very nature God, he could have relieved his hunger and proved his identity by turning stones into bread, but he didn't. He accepted the test. He chose to depend absolutely on his heavenly Father. He chose humanity to represent all of humankind. He didn't consider equality with his Father something to be used to his own advantage, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. So what did Jesus do instead? He answered in verse 4, let's say this again together from the New Living Translation. People do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus, the word of God, points us to God's word. But why this particular verse? Because Jesus knew that his 40 days of testing in the wilderness was similar to the 40 years that Israel spent in the desert, except that Jesus trusted his Father fully, whereas Israel did not. It was a time of testing when God demonstrated to his people that he could and would provide for them, that they could and should depend on him. Jesus understood what his heavenly Father was doing. It was a question of priorities, feeding his rumbling stomach or depending on his heavenly Father. The Westminster Shorter Catechism tells us that our first purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, and then tells us that God's given us his word, the Bible, to tell us how to do this. So as followers of Jesus, we want to remember our priorities too. God sometimes tests us. He lets us go hungry, and then he feeds us. In order to teach us that, again, we can say together, people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So our New Year resolutions tend to be both too small and too big. We usually aim to establish a new habit for a few months, and that might be a good thing to do. But it's not usually the most important thing. It might be good to improve our diet, do more exercise, and so on. But it's not what matters most. And often it's our own plan rather than God's. And we typically fail when we're away from the mountaintop. When we're down in the valley of real life, we give up and we quit. So instead of a typical one-year resolution, let's make hearing God's word our priority. Let's aim to glorify and enjoy God forever. You can aim to be physically healthier this year as well if you want, but our lifelong priority is to follow God's plan and serve him, not just to set our own little short-term goals. And then when we are hard-pressed, we'll be better able to hear God's word and know what to do. How do we do that? Well, after 40 days of fasting, Jesus answered the tempter directly from God's word. And it helps if we know God's word well enough to respond that way. If you're not in the habit of reading God's word every day, or listening to God's word every day, it's a great time to start. And the church website points us to some great resources. One of my favorites is the Navigator's Bible reading plans. And the reason I like these is because they've got lots of options. And the one I use only has 25 days per month. Yes! So I get a few days off, which leaves it a bit of a wiggle room. So, for example, on Sundays, you could just listen to the sermon and not do a separate Bible passage. But we want to develop the habit of reading the Bible because listening to God's word is an essential part of knowing God. But we don't want to be legalistic about it. So I like these. You can choose 4 readings a day or just 2 readings a day. And there's even a plan that's meant to be really simple, sort of the 5 minutes each day for those perhaps who are just getting used to reading God's word. And there are also lots of apps, Bible apps, that will let you read, including copyright versions of the Bible. Of course, for some of us, a quiet time doesn't really exist because it's not quiet, it's noisy. And that's okay. We can read out loud or we can listen to God's word. And there are many that offer audio Bibles, including the YouVersion and the Word Project. And I discovered recently you can play the YouVersion on your Amazon Alexa at home if you want. There's also a memory system. So if you're already in the habit of reading or listening to God's word daily, how about using a tool like this, the topical memory system, to try memorizing it? God instructed Joshua, keep this book of the law God's word always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. And 2 Peter 1 reminds us that we need reminding. Jesus used the word of God as a weapon against Satan and against temptation. Are we ready to use God's word too? Notice in verse 3 how very reasonable the tempter's words sound. He said to Jesus, "Since you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." I remember while my friend was eating breakfast, and I wasn't, such reasonable thoughts entered my mind as well. It would be polite to eat with my guest. My Muslim neighbours don't fast when they're travelling. It's just normal to break a fast when there's a good reason. Does it really matter if we fast? Could we just pray for the church situation without fasting? The temptations that followed for Jesus are, in a sense, more obvious. Testing God by behaving recklessly is not wise, when the Bible clearly teaches wisdom. And worshipping anyone other than God is clearly wrong. But this temptation to turn stones into bread is more subtle. Being hungry is not sinful. Desiring relief from hunger is normal. And in a later context, Jesus did miraculously provide huge quantities of bread for hungry crowds, but out of compassion instead of self-interest. And in verse 11, once the time of testing was over, we see that Jesus was looked after by angels, and I presume that included some food. But Jesus knew that this was a spiritual test. Romans 8, 12 and 13 tells us, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Jesus resisted the shortcut. Often we encounter situations where it would be much easier, much more comfortable to take a shortcut and not do things quite the right way. Hudson Taylor learned and taught what Jesus already knew, that God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. So let's not expect the new year to be easy, but let's not settle for the usual New Year resolutions. And let's not just do things because we can. Instead, let's expect to be tested as God teaches us. And let's prioritize listening to God's word as more important than anything else. Because God is our first priority. We want to know what he wants us to do and to do it the right way rather than our way, as if we knew better than God. So we wait on God, depending on him. We do what God says, and we do it God's way by listening to his word, because, we say together, people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Amen.